All right, again, welcome. We're glad that you are here this morning. Today's going to be a special kind of day. Back in 2003, I was appointed to this church to start a new church. This church was not this church. There was not a church here. And I was appointed to come here and start a church. And so it has been 15 years. It has been an amazing journey that we have had together. Some of us, I can look out at Florence, some of us have been here like the whole time, haven't we, Florence? And a lot of you are new, and so it is good to have you with us today. From the very early days, we started Faith Point with one mission in mind, that we believe that God has called us to make more and stronger followers of Jesus Christ. That is why the church exists. We are here, every church is here in this place, in this world, with one mission, to reach the world for Christ, to make more followers of Jesus and to make stronger followers of Jesus. We get it right from scripture that tells us that is our job one. And so from the very beginning, we have sought to keep that central mission in everything that we do, every plan that we make, every function that we have, every strategy that we come up with. We ask the question, is this going to help us to achieve this mission of making more and stronger disciples of Jesus Christ? Because we have a grand vision. We have a big vision. God gave me this vision 15 years ago, and I believe it's still a vision for today, that we are going to be the kind of place, we are going to be a community. We're going to be a community of faith, hope, and love, where an ever-increasing number of people are hearing and responding to the life-changing message of Jesus Christ. You can see how that fits right with the mission, right? So we want to be this place of faith, hope, and love. We want to be a community. Really, we want to be a family where together, we respond to this life-changing message of Jesus Christ. And that means that we want to be the kind of church where people can belong, believe, and become all that God created them to be. We want to be the kind of place where you can come as you are, where you might come to know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, and where you might discover how God has uniquely wired and gifted you to make a difference. See, because we are supposed to be kingdom builders. When Jesus gave a prayer to his disciples and they said, Jesus, how are we supposed to pray? Among other things, Jesus said, and pray this, that thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And so what that means is that the kingdom of God, this heavenly place, is supposed to be reflected in our time and space. And God, in his amazing wisdom, and I think sense of humor sometimes, is that he has chosen to partner with us to achieve that, to bring his kingdom here on earth. And so from the very beginning, I came up with this model of ministry. Actually, I borrowed this model from friends of mine who planted a church down in Texas many years ago. If you've been through our Exploring Faith Point class, we've talked about this. If you've been around here for any length of period of time, you've heard me talk about this. That our model for our life together to be the kind of place where we can belong, believe, and become all that God created us to be really flows from this model of what I call worship plus two. Is that we are a people of God who have been called by God together to worship. That's what we're doing this morning. Now, all of our lives are supposed to be an act of worship. In other words, we're supposed to give God the glory in everything that we do. You can learn more about that by signing up for the Work as Worship retreat. I'll say a little bit more about that during the announcements. But our whole lives are supposed to be a physical act of worship. But that is not complete. Because, again, God has so chosen to use us to build that kingdom. And so to be fully formed as followers of Jesus, to be able to respond when Jesus says, come and follow me, the idea of that is that we are participators, not spectators. That we are supposed to be ready and to come out on the field anytime and every time the need arises. And so this model of worship plus two revolves around worship plus those other two places. That we should be growing and we should be serving. Every single one of us who calls the name of Christ, every single one of us who says, yes, I am a believer in Jesus, growing and serving are not optional. I would say they are actually essential for us to be fully formed followers of Jesus. Now, over the last 15 years, it's been amazing to watch what God has done in this arena of growing and serving. Right now, as of this month, we have over 60% of our active Faith Pointers are serving somewhere. That is a great number. Over 60% of you are participants, that you are off the chairs and into the game, that you are serving in places like Kids Point. Kids Point is actually our highest place where we have volunteers. Our high school youth actually serve in Faith Point. I'm sorry, serve in Kids Point. So we're trying from a very early age to get all of our folks involved in that. So Kids Point's a great area for service, but we have lots of other serve opportunities. Again, over 60% of our active Faith Pointers are involved serving somewhere. Now, while that number I think is great, my goal for 2018, by the time we get done with this year, is that number is going to be 75%. That if you are an active, involved member of Faith Point, that I want to get you serving. So I want to get that number up to at least 75% so that when we do this next year and just review kind of where we've been, that we're going to celebrate that 75% of us are actively involved in ministry. And we don't ask you to serve every week. As a matter of fact, if you work in Kids Point, we just want you to serve once a month. If you work in the tech booth, if you work back here, now these guys have to serve a little bit more often. So actually, if you have a gift in music, Jonathan would love to talk to you because we'd like to expand this team as well. But now when we look at the other part of that wheel, the grow, we got a lot of growing to do in this area. As of right now, only about 30% of our Faith Pointers are involved in some type of Faith Point organized Bible study small group. Only about 30%. We got to get that number up because we got to continue to grow in our relationship with Jesus so we can become all that God has created us to be. I believe that also when we grow, we actually achieve this amazing saying by Christine Kane. She says that you know you've grown when you want to give more than you want to receive. You know you've really grown. We've heard that saying, right? It's better to give than to receive. Is that we know that we've really grown when we have this desire to give more, in other words, to serve more than what we just sit back and receive. So today we're going to hear from some of our Faith Pointers. Actually, they're folks from our leadership team who I think embody this statement incredibly well. They are folks who serve in our church. They are folks who serve you as together we seek to make more and stronger disciples of Jesus Christ. In the fall of last year, we did some dessert gatherings where we invited you to meet with folks from our leadership team just to share with us your hopes and dreams, what brought you to Faith Point, what keeps you at Faith Point. And so we're going to talk about some of those things today. But interspersed within there, we're going to hear a couple stories as well. We're going to hear stories from Rob Hudson and from Mark McKay, things about like how'd you get to where you are today. Mark's going to share with us the legacy that his parents established very young in his life about what does it mean to be a tither? What does it mean to really give back to God? Then we're going to hear from Todd. Todd's going to share with us what the dessert and dinner kind of observations, the things that we've learned. And then Greg's going to share with you this goal that we have, this budget that we have for 2018, the place that we want to stretch and we want to reach to because we want to bring more. Can you say more? More. We want to make more and stronger. Can you say stronger? Stronger disciples of Jesus. And that takes us all working together, praying, giving, serving, and growing. It takes us all. And so I want to jump this off by introducing to you Rob Hudson. If you have not met Rob yet, Rob's going to come up and Rob's going to share a part of his story with us about how he ended up at Faith Point and what God has been doing in his life. Would you welcome Rob? Come on.
Morning. I'm not a public speaker. This is probably one of the hardest things that I have to do, even though I work in an industry where public speaking, you have to do it a lot. So I affectionately call myself, I grew up in a Baptist church and I was a backseat Baptist as I sat in the backseat here. I never thought that I would be this far in the front. So my story, grew up in the church, grew up in BYF, the youth fellowship, went every Sunday, got married, went off to the military, kind of moved away from the church somewhat, came back and moved to, out of the military to Columbus, Indiana. We found a church there. We were faithful followers in the church. My kids were actually in the school at the church. But something happened. Something happened that was personal to me. and I turned my back on the church. I pulled my wife out of the church, I pulled my family out of the church, and I was angry at the people in the church. I won't go into any details about that, but I did something that I look back on that was selfish on my part, that I took my family away from God. I took my family away from the opportunity to build fellowship and community. So fast forward, I was working at Riley Hospital. Been there about 8 years, and lo and behold, Todd Lambert on a weekend picks up the phone and calls me. He's like, "Rob, there's this amazing opportunity at Norton Children's Hospital. I'd like for you to come down here and check it out." And I was like, "Wow, you know, I've got a great job here at Riley. I'm really established. But you know what? I went to IU Southeast. I thought, I'll come down here and check it out. I did my clinicals there in school. So, all right." So I came down, met my boss. 15 minutes in, I'm like, "How do you come down here? My boss is amazing," and she still is amazing. She just retired last week, so that's been like a funeral for the hospital last week, but she was amazing. So fast forward, I thought, you know, we'll live in Columbus. I've been driving to Indianapolis for 8 years. It's not that big a deal. So started driving to Louisville. Hated it. I don't know what the difference was, but the hour drive up to Indianapolis compared to the hour drive down to Louisville was terrible, absolutely terrible. So I started talking to my wife, and I was like, "Hey, you know, maybe we need to move. I'm really tired of driving. I've been driving for 8 years. It's time to, maybe you can find a job somewhere else, and we can come down here." So she did. I drove for about a year before that decision was made. She ended up getting a job down here, and we moved down here. So it was getting close to Christmas about 4 years ago. Todd talks to my wife, and he's like, "You know what? You need to come to church to Christmas Eve service." I was like, "Here we go." Because I'm still angry. It's been 8 years, but I'm still angry. So I show up, and I sit over here, because I can remember it. I thought, well, okay. It's dark, it's not too bad, and I slip out. So my wife says, "You know, you remember one of the things she wanted me to do was find a church home when we moved down here." And I was like, "Yeah, I've heard that before, but, you know, we'll get out of this." So we start coming, and I sat where I sit now, because coming from a Baptist church, that's just the way it was, and angry, walked in the door angry. Angry at people I didn't know, blame people I didn't know, judgmental. My wife would sit in the car every time we'd leave and say, "What is wrong with you? You look like," she goes, "I don't even know what to say." And it was reaffirmed during our meetings at the home around desserts. I was talking to Chuck. Chuck says, "Wow, dude, you were way out there when you first showed up." He even said, "I'm not so sure he should be passing out flyers to people coming in, because he doesn't look like he's the type of person who should be doing that." I was like, that bad. So fast forward, you know, through that first year, one night, it was on a weekend, it was a Saturday night, my son was home, it was 2 o'clock in the morning, and we're talking, he said, "Let's go do Disciple One." I was like, "Oh man, what are you doing to me now?" So we sat there and talked, and I said, "Okay, we'll do it." So did Disciple One. Happily to say, I'm in my third year of Disciple. Never thought I would be in this position. Never thought I would forgive people. I've forgiven the church. I actually looked that church up the other day just to see what was going on and who was still in charge. Because, you know, George always says, you're brought here for a reason. And what a reason. I mean, I was set somewhere else. I moved an hour south, really 2 hours from a job that I loved and the people that I loved, and took a chance to leave that area. So how does God put their hands on people like Todd and my son and my wife to say, you need a community? And what I've come to realize is I love this community. I love this church. I love my pastor, and I love the people in it. So I'm just going to leave with this. It's out of Acts in chapter 2. It says, they worshiped together at the temple each day, meet in homes for the Lord's Supper, and shared their meals with great joy and generosity, all the while praising God and enjoying the goodwill of all the people. And each day the Lord added to their fellowship those who were being saved. I was one of those lost. How many people do we have lost in this community? How many people do we need to go out and reach and bring to this church? To fill the seats, bust down the walls, and anybody and everybody is welcome to come here. Thank you.
Thanks, Rob. So as we were talking about some of those ideas in our leadership team meeting a few weeks ago, we talked about the need to have money to do that kind of stuff. And so we got to talking about tithing, and so that's what I'm going to talk about here for a minute. And so as a legacy of a parent's faith, then if I was to put a subtitle on that, I'm going to say it's a heart condition. So the legacy of tithing, it's a heart condition, and I'll come back to that a couple of times through this here. So first of all, Susan and I, we have a great legacy from our parents in many ways. Her parents have been married for more than 53 years. Are they going to be 53 this year? They're married in 64. So more than 53 years. They're working on 54 years. My parents, on April 2nd, will be married for 52 years. So from a marriage standpoint, we've had two really great examples of what a Christian marriage looks like, and it's awesome. But we also have a legacy of tithing from our parents as well. Susan's parents have tithed for 30 years, and my parents have tithed for 50 years. And so, I think those are just two amazing legacies. If you look at the length of time that our parents have been married and the length of time our parents have been tithing, we have some really great examples to look at for us. So this is the idea right here. Tithing and having this legacy of tithing, it's a dependence on God and on God's word. It's not just a thing to do. It's not just because it's in the Bible, but it's a dependence on God. In Romans, Paul talks about having an uncircumcised heart. And an uncircumcised heart, that's obviously a Jewish reference to their customs in the Old Testament and so on. But what he's talking about there is obeying God and obeying what God intends for us to do. And it's not about following the law letter by letter, but by following the spirit of the law, okay? So tithing is a matter of wanting to live God's way and not having to live God's way, right? That's the idea of tithing. So God does expect us to tithe. It's a recognition that everything we have comes from God. And if you want to turn with me in your Bibles, if you have one, to Malachi chapter 3, because you're going to want to reread these verses. I'm going to talk about them just for a minute here, but you'll want to reread these. Malachi is the last book of the Old Testament, and then chapter 3, verses 8 through 10 is what I'm going to read. And I'm not reading out of the NLT, George. Sorry about that. So you'll figure it out in your own Bible. 3, 8 through 10 says, "Will a man rob God, yet you are robbing me? You ask, how do we rob you? By not making the payments of 10% and the contributions. You're suffering under a curse. Yet you, the whole nation, are still robbing me. Bring the full 10% into the storehouse so that there may be food in my house. Test me in this way, says the Lord. Test me if I will not open the floodgates of heaven and pour out a blessing for you without measure." This is the only time that God says to test him in the whole Bible. Test me by bringing your tithe. See what happens, right? See what I'm going to do for you. Verse 10, he says, "I'm going to open the floodgates of heaven and pour out a blessing for you without measure," which is awesome. So, a couple things about that verse. First of all, you say, "Wait, that's in the Old Testament, Mark. I don't have to do that because it's in the Old Testament. We live under, Christ and grace and so on, and we don't live in an Old Testament world." Well, that's true. But Jesus came to fulfill the law. Jesus didn't come to abolish the law. He came to fulfill the law. So, we do still live under the law. The law is God's way of blessing us and giving us a way to live that he knows is the right way to live and he knows will fulfill us in our life. So it says there, again in verse 10, he'll bless us without measure, right? What's that mean? I don't know what that means exactly. Here's what I'm sure of. God is much more concerned about our spiritual condition than our physical condition. So when he says he'll bless us without measure, I'm not sure that he's talking about that we'll have new cars and huge houses and make $300,000 a year and stuff like that. That could be part of it, though. And I think some of that's how God made you and how you're wired and talents and gifts that he's given you. But he's talking, I think, mostly about spiritual gifts. And those could be all kinds of things, from peace with your family to peace with yourself to, you're more patient than you used to be or whatever. I don't know what it is. But anyway, God promises that he will open up those floodgates of heaven, pour out a blessing on us. The other thing I know is just because you tithe doesn't mean that you're going to have a perfect life. We're not talking about a prosperity gospel here. We're not talking about that, you know, if you do this, then God will never have anything bad happen to you. God will only take care of you and so on. Again, back to our parents who have given us this great legacy. Both of our dads have had open heart surgeries. Mine was 49 when he had four bypasses. And Susan's just had one this past year, so he was, 75 when he had his bypass surgery. My mom currently has dementia, which is a terrible disease. It's sad, and it completely robs you of who you are. It's awful. And then Susan's mom is just kind of going through a lot of aging issues and stuff like that right now. So it doesn't mean nothing bad will happen to you, right? But there's many other ways to look at life than just simply, what's my physical state at this point in time. One other possible blessing, one that I don't understand at all, but is promised in God's word, is that we're going to get jewels in our crowns in heaven. I don't know what that means, but I'm sure it's really awesome, and we'll find out someday. So that's that. So again, I would close by a couple things. Tithing, again, it's a heart condition. This is our heart. Susan and I, as tithers, we've tithed our entire married life. I grew up tithing, and I'm sure Susan probably did too. So we've always tithed. It's because we have shown God we are dependent on you. We trust that you will take care of us. We're putting our resources into your hands. Everything we have comes from God. That's a basic belief that we have, and so that's important for us. Jesus says in the Sermon on the Mount, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. So that's something to think about with your tithe. Again, you know, what are my resources saying about my dependence and my faith in God? Finally, what's your legacy to your family going to be? We only have one chance to create a legacy for our family, right? And so you want your legacy to be this godly legacy of tithing. And again, not just tithing for the sake of tithing, but tithing because this says to my family, I depend on God. My life is in God's hands. My resources are in God's hands. So that's my message on tithing. If you have any questions about tithing, you certainly can talk to Susan and I, talk to George. I'm sure there's tithers in this room that if you know of, you could talk to those tithers, and that would be great. And then there's all kinds of suggestions online you can look at, too, with the old internet. So thank you.
Thank you, Mark. So for those of you that don't know me, my name's Todd Lammert. My wife and kids are over there. Everybody, raise your hand. We've been coming to Faith Point now for about 6 years. I am the Todd that Rob referred to. It was my pleasure for inviting you down and inviting you to church. Rob, I know you said you weren't the public speaking thing, but I think you did a great job. So kudos to you for that. And George, we might have a backup. Chuck? Someone's got your back. I want to take a second to let Rob in on a little secret. Rob said that I had reached out to him because there was a position. Well, Rob, I really didn't want you. I wanted your wife. I was using you to get to your wife. For those of you that don't know, Debbie works with me at Norton Healthcare as well. So just kidding. We're blessed to have both of you. So thank you. So I'm going to be sharing some of the output that from the dessert nights about three months ago. So for those of you who actually participated in a dessert night, would you raise your hand just to kind of give an idea who? Great. So good portion of the folks that are here. I've probably been on the leadership team, I think, for about 4 years now, since the six we've been here. And we've, as a leadership team, in support of George and Wendy and the other leaders in the church, have tried to be intentional about setting the direction and vision that God has for the church. So about three years ago, we took some time and were intentional in some of our planning. And we said, hey, you know what? A lot going on. Church is growing. A lot of good things. Let's sit down and do that again. So what a better way to do that than to reach out to all of you and say, hey, what is it that God's putting on your hearts as to where we need to go as a church? So that's really what prompted the dessert night discussion, and we're going to go through some of that feedback as to what was discussed in those sessions. There were four questions, if you recall. First question was, what brought you to Faith Point? Second question was, what we want to be known for. Third question was around hopes and dreams. What are the hopes and dreams for Faith Point? And then lastly was, hey, if money was not an option, what would you want to do? How would you want to see the church grow? So, and what we found in going through the exercises, a lot of the items on each of the different lists, you could really plop them down in any one of the four different buckets. So we had flip charts in the back room there, and this is just a representation. We tried to do our best to kind of take, you know, this much voice and try to bring it down to something that was manageable. As far as what has brought and kept everyone to Faith Point, location, those personal invitations, referrals, friendly, welcoming, family feel, kids points, and then the great worship and messages that we get when we come together. What we wanted to be known for, Bible-based teaching, kids programming, very missions and service orientation, a family feel, and great atmosphere. And by the way, we did have over 90 people that provided input in those sessions, which was pretty cool. Next slide, please. As far as hopes and dreams go, we talked about, and again, a lot of overlap, which what's going to be on the next slide, but more small group options, gym space, community center. Again, I think, how do we come together? Do we have enough space to capacity when we need it with those groups that we want to bring together? More retreats, activities and outreach, short-term Bible study options, continued disciple-making opportunities, improved social media utilization, more service, community presence, youth mentorship, and more storage. Anybody that's helped with the Christmas decorations knows that that's an issue. Last slide. So kind of tying it kind of all together around, hey, if money wasn't an option, and again, we've talked about tithing, the vision. George talked about the worship plus two. This kind of leads us into what are things that we can do and what are some things that we kind of vision for Faith Point in the future. An outside shelter, improved kids' rooms, adult study rooms, dedicated youth space, financial updates, Bible-based teaching, more space, group nights out, young adult ministry, and not afraid to try things. So, any surprises there? So that, again, takes a whole lot of voice from you all and kind of provides a summary for that. Next slide. So so some of the things that we want to do as a leadership team and working with the body, you all, is we really want to be intentional with more offering more opportunities for these personal connections, small groups, retreats, activities, short-term studies, investigate the use of space. Are we using the existing space most effectively, most efficiently? What are those other opportunities where we can come together, together as a body? As we go forth as a congregation, and really part of today is, as far as next steps go, is, hey, we wanted to share these findings with you all and start to get you all excited about some of the voice that you had provided to kind of get some momentum going. We as a leadership team, with voice from you all, want to begin to plan and prioritize around some of this voice, develop more leaders within Faith Point, and then finally, which is going to be after the service, correct, George? We're going to provide a vehicle for folks that are interested in getting involved in more small group activities. We'll do some planning around that. So I think the takeaway from all of this and my call to action for you all is members of the body is to, number one, pray about it. And again, we very much appreciate your voice. I think we had a really successful voice gathering session. But pray about it and really seek to understand what God is putting on your heart. Again, whether it's related to tithing, whether it's related to your time. You know, again, we can contribute in a lot of ways, and it really will take not just 30% engagement, but really 100% engagement to meet and do some of these things. And then the other thing would just be is, you know, after you pray about it, in the very near future, in the next days, couple weeks, really begin to identify how you, as a active member at Faith Point, can take some accountability and participate in one of these options. So that's really all I have. Greg is going to come up and talk about the Spartans' win last night. So, thank you.
Well, hopefully that's good enough for everybody. Thank you for all the time. I have to tell you, I'm really honored to be able to get in front of you guys. We've done an excellent job here at the church, and we've been growing for the last 3 years. And every year when we try to set a budget, I'm usually the cheap one, only because my background, I've spent a lot of money. I've wasted a lot of money. And it's interesting how much I've learned from all of you. Every year when we put together the budget, we find a way to make the budget. It's amazing to me because I keep growing it a little bit and you guys keep giving more. Every year we've grown almost in the last 3 years about 10 to 12%, about 8% of people, 10 to 12% in giving. So that is just an excellent thing that we're doing. In this area, though, if you look at the general area of Floyd Knobs area, the average income is about $50,000. And if everybody gave essentially a 10% tithe, we have about 77 families here. We could actually have a budget of $350,000. Now, some of us, and I'm one of those, I make a little bit more than $50,000. And I try to make sure we tithe. And it's a good thing because the minute you take that first step, God comes in. He changes your wants. He fulfills your needs, whatever it is. So I highly recommend if you can take, even if it's not to your tithe, to find a way to take a little bit of a step. Every time I've taken a step, he's fulfilled something for me, whether it's in tithing, celebrate recovery, or any of the other things we've done. Go ahead, let's. As you can see in 2017, we were actually looking to try to spend $280,000, and that was to help the fact that we've grown every year from roughly about 20 kids to 42 kids that are in the back. We've had six kids at the point. We're now up to anywhere around 25 some nights. If you look at that budget, we hit $286,000 that we spent last year. But you guys gave $295,000. That is excellent. That is huge for us. It allows us to put some money aside to building in case we want to meet some of those desires that you guys have. The other thing is, in that $295,000, that doesn't include the fact that you guys gave to missions and you gave to the kids. Some of it was because you were taking a trip or sending your kids. But if you look at that extra money, that would have been $320,000 that we gave, which is a lot. And you guys need to be congratulated. But you can see also, if we want to do some of the things we talked about, we as a group put together and said, hey, let's try to get another 10%, which would put us up to that $350,000. And what we were doing there is, if you look at it, every year when you look at some of those items, there's more kids that are in the back. Wendy does a great job trying to make sure she has programming for the kids and the parents, which helps us grow those kids. If you look at what we're doing just with when you look at the administration fees, some of those fees, what's driving that is the number of people that are giving online every week. There's fees that we have to pay for the amount that you guys give every week. But that more than succeeds on what we're doing. On the building and grounds, the majority of that is due to the fact that you got to pay a mortgage. We have to have insurance. That's what drives a lot of it. Utilities, you're looking at all those things like electricity and water and internet and fire alarm. All of those things are in underneath utilities. Under worship, it's all the nice things that we put together to make this look beautiful every time that we come in here. And the ladies that do that, it's phenomenal every week. We also put money in there whenever we have things for the worship team, whether it's fixing some of the equipment. We'd like to do some more work as far as being able to enclose the drums so that we can control the level a little better, because I know some of you would like it to be more even. We'd like to get a sub so that we have two subs so that the sound is more even for you, so that you can enjoy your service and worship better. When we go down into discipleship, that's where we have money going in for our kids, money going into the youth as far as what they do for programming at the point. Whenever we want to try and do certain things with small groups that we talked about, that's where that money will be coming from. When we look at outreach, there's a number of different things in there. There's the coffee that we drink every morning, which is a nice thing to have. It's where we tithe. And many of you may not know this, but as a church, 10% of what we give goes to the United Methodist Church as a whole for all of the programs that are done. You've heard George talk about UMCOR and all of the other things. So even as a church, we put 10% of our money in to that. And then we also give 1.5% to the local district in this area, you know, to pay for all of the different programming that helps us go forward. Then when we come down to payroll, you know, the one thing I would really like to be able to do is, you know, Jonathan, Connor, Wendy are part-time people. What can we do to bring them further in board so that they can spend more time and have our programming, as fantastic as it is, think of how much better it could be if we could go ahead and get them to be more of a full-time presence, to be able to get them training. We put into the budget each year training where they can go off-site, get energized to learn what is the best training that we can give to all of our kids, and that's where that money comes from. So in general, I've got a budget up there. I'd like to try to get to $350,000, but I can't get there without you guys. And I just pray that you'll take the time, take that one little bit step that you can. I know many of you are having troubles. I'll be one of those. But let's get there.
So we are very blessed because we have a group of leaders who love Jesus, who love our church, who love you, and who want to see the gospel expanded and grown. And so you got to hear some of their stories. Every month our leadership team meets because we talk about this stuff. We talk about how do we grow more and stronger disciples of Jesus Christ? How do we do programs and things that we can offer to help make a difference that makes our footprint here in Floyd's Knobs even bigger? So we are really seeking to bring the kingdom of God here. So let me just remind you where we are. We are a church that believes in worship plus two. We want to be a community that gathers weekly for worship because we think that's central. We need to worship. We need to have that time where we gather together to lift the name of Jesus. But together, we've got to grow and we've got to serve. Together, we've got to grow deeper and stronger in our relationship with Jesus so that we become what Jesus created us to be, so that we are more obedient, so that we are more committed as followers of Christ, so that we're making a difference. We've got to be people who work together. Scripture talks a lot about what does it mean to serve one another? What does it talk about? How we each have gifts, unique abilities that God has given us to do amazing, incredible things. So where do we take this? What do we do? So here, four things I just want to leave with you as we just kind of wind this down. And I'm just calling this the next steps. For our life together, what is the next steps that we do as a church? Because we call this kind of our visioning Sunday. This is, I sent out an email saying, hey, we're looking back, looking now, and looking forward. So what do we do with this? Four things I want to really encourage you and ask you to do for us as a church. Number one, I'm going to ask you to pray. The Bible says that we should pray without ceasing. We believe that God does things because we pray. So we should be a people who pray, that we pray for our church, we pray for one another, we pray for the people who are not yet in these seats, that they might come to know Jesus. So we've got to be a people who pray. The Bible tells us that God's word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. The Bible tells us that all scripture is inspired by God and it's useful to teach us what's right and what's wrong, how to direct our lives. So we got to be a people of prayer. Which leads to the next place. We got to be people who are growing. Here's the truth. If you are not growing deeper and stronger in your relationship with Jesus by intentional discipleship, intentional growing, then you are actually moving away from Jesus. We are either growing constantly closer to Jesus or we are pushing ourselves further away from him. And so we've got to be a people who are intentionally growing in our relationship with Jesus, asking us the question, are we closer to Jesus today than we were last week? Are we closer today than we were last month or last year or 5 years ago? We've got to be intentional because our faith doesn't grow just by osmosis. We've got to be people who are into scripture, who are growing. Jesus says, come and follow me. So we've got to be a people who are growing. And so we want to provide opportunities to help you to do that. There are some community-wide studies like community Bible study or Bible study fellowship. But we want to do some homegrown things. We want to do more opportunities to help people grow in their relationship with Jesus. And so after worship today, I'm going to invite you to just come and meet me right over here. We're going to talk about that for just a few minutes. I will not keep you very long. I just want to write your name down, and I want to see what you're interested in doing. Do you want to weekly? Do you want to do bi-weekly? What is going to work with your schedule? Because we've got to begin taking those steps so that together we're growing deeper and stronger in our relationship with Jesus. Because if you are not growing deeper and stronger by intentional faith development, then you are pushing yourself away from Jesus. And we want to grow closer to Jesus. Number three, I want to encourage you to look at how are you being a steward, in other words, a manager, a caretaker of all that God has given you. How are you managing God's resources? Because the Bible says that God says the gold is mine and the silver is mine, says the Lord. So how well are we stewarding? Nothing is ours. We are taking care of it. So just asking ourselves, how are we stewarding the resources at place that God has placed in our care? Mark talked about how he and Susan have always been a tither in their marriage. My wife and I, we have always been tithers in our marriage. From the very first day, from when we got married, we the very first check that we write is to the church. So you need to know, as your pastor, we give back more than 10% to our church because we love our church and we just want to walk in closer obedience to God. So I want to encourage you to ask, how am I doing with that? How am I seriously doing? See, the reality is, if you can't live on 90%, you can't live on 100%. So how has God gotten a hold of your heart? And how are you saying, okay, Lord, I'm trusting you. I'm trusting you that you can do exceedingly abundantly more than I could ask or imagine. So just want to lay that before you. That if you're single, unmarried, look at where you are with your resources. If you're married, if you're together, look at your resources. How are you managing, not your money, but the things that God has placed in your care? And then number four, serve. Find a place to get plugged into the life of our church. We need you. The Bible tells us that every single one of us who are believers in Jesus have been given a spiritual gift to be used for the building of the body. That means every single one of us is important. 1 Corinthians, Paul says, and the hand can't say to the rest of the body, hey, I don't need you. We need everybody. That means if your gift is cleaning, baby, you can sign up to clean this church. If your gift is playing the guitar or singing, baby, you just come on up and Jonathan will audition you because we'd love to have you be a part of that. If you like decorating stuff, they'd love to have you come and be a part of that. Kids Point, we are always looking for volunteers for Kids Point. The point, we're always looking for volunteers. There's always things that we can do in the life of our church that we need one another. And so I want to invite you to take what you've heard today and to allow that to just ruminate inside of you and to pray and to ask God, what is my part, God? What is it that you want me and my family to do? How can I pray? How can I grow? How can I steward and how can I serve? Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, your word tells us that together we are the church, that together we are your body, that together we accomplish more than we can do all by ourselves, that together we are an imposing force, that together we are your presence in this world, that together we change the world. But your word tells us that together we are not only empowered by, but we are indwelled by your Holy Spirit. So you promise us and you tell us that all that we do, oh God, is not what we do on our own, but you are with us, that you are the one who empowers and encourages and equips us to do way more than we can do all by ourselves. And so, Lord, I want to pray. I want to pray as together, over the next few days and weeks, as we pray, as we think about what it means to steward, as we think about what it is that we're supposed to do, how do we serve, as we reflect on how are we intentionally growing in our relationship with you. God, I hope that you would give us each a vision. As a church, we have a pretty big vision out there. We want to do amazing things for you. We want to build your kingdom here bigger than it's ever been. And we know we can't do that on our own. But we need each person in here to be a part of this community that makes a difference. And so, Lord, I pray with all my heart that you would speak to each one of us, that we would respond to you as you have led us, as you have called us, as you have equipped us. I pray, oh God, that you would move among us. And I pray that in the strong and powerful name of Jesus. Would you stand together? We're going to sing one more song.